The Paddy Power Half Hour on Off the Ball
with Paddy Power, the greatest football partnership since Shearer and Owen.
Well, hi there, and welcome along to the Paddy Power Half Hour on Off the Ball. I'm Tom Malone, joined this week by Raf Diallo and Enda Cole. How are you guys?
Hey, Tom.
Yeah, I very much feel like I'm the captain of the B team here. No offence.
This is a dream team.
Absolute dream team. Dream team. There's definitely nothing bigger or better on in the office today.
No.
100%.
Our shirts.
Yeah, well,
other than that.
People definitely aren't taking days off because it's Christmas.
There's 100%. There is, you know, that's what's going on here. This is a first choice situation. Of course, our football coverage is brought to you with thanks to Paddy Power for information, of course, on responsible gambling. Make sure you visit dunlewy.net. And a reminder as well, the next 25 minutes or so will feature quite a lot of chat about gambling. So if that offends you or upsets you in any way, perhaps just, you know, go somewhere else for a few minutes, but make sure you come back for all the awesome content in OTB. Right, we're going to start at the sort of most obvious point early on Saturday. Everton up against Chelsea. Everton, no manager. In the relegation zone, Chelsea to come as well. Well, what do you make of this, Raf?
It's an interesting one. We don't know what Duncan Ferguson's going to be like as a caretaker. I would be particularly possibly scared of him based on his playing
career.
But
he hasn't done any media work pretty much whatsoever. He's been at Everton.
He doesn't do it as well. Yeah, he's not. He was never. I think he was always a little bit media shy anyway. But he had a particular reputation on the pitch, obviously, as being one of those cult hero kind of hard men. So as a caretaker, it's hard to gauge what he's going to do either tactically or even as a man manager. Will there be a new manager bounce? We didn't see it at Arsenal last week, last night, which I thought might come about, whether it's interim or caretaker. Chelsea are going well. They got back to winning ways during the week. You would fancy Chelsea based on recent form, but there is that outlier, of course, of it's hard to gauge whether Duncan Ferguson actually will make any significant changes behind the scenes
in
the day or two that he's actually been in charge.
Yeah, and the problem with Silva, probably, there was just no real shape there, was there? So it's like, what can Duncan Ferguson, he's been there for quite a long time.
Yeah, and Marco Silva, he's been unlucky this year with injuries in the midfield, especially. They haven't really had a first string of centre midfielders with Sigurdsson and the rest of them being out injured at time to time. They never really had. They didn't have Andre Gomez at all this season, so they've been unlucky in that sense. But he spent enough money that he should have a better midfield anyway. Yeah. So he's really, his reign has been a failure at Everton. And one thing I'll be looking at under Duncan Ferguson now going forward is, are they going to show a willingness to try and bring a bit of pride back to the jersey at Everton? Because Marco Silva has one of these records. It's something that you don't really want as a manager, and it's something that is maybe a downfall of the players as well, is that when they went behind this season, they haven't won a game.
And it's down to
he has the second worst record in the Premier League history off that, of across the board, for when he was in charge of Hull, when he was in charge of Watford. He just couldn't get his team to come back after they went 1-0 down. So that's something you might want to see a change under Duncan Ferguson. And if anybody can scare the players enough to try to do that.
Yeah, you think as a character, that's what he should be able to do.
And additionally, as a second point, great point about, I suppose, his trend in terms of not being able to change a team kind of mid-game. But also, if you look at his career at Watford and Hull, makes an impact initially. And then, if you remember Hull, everybody was talking about him, they still went down. Watford, as soon, I think it was 8 games in, he gets linked with Everton, and then I think they didn't win their next 11 games, or they won 1 from 11, and then he got sacked, and obviously Everton picked him up. So, in terms of his own kind of career trajectory, it seems, and he did okay at Everton at the beginning, it seems he makes an initial impact, is not able to sustain it in any way whatsoever.
I mean, there's talk of Pereira coming in. Is he a guy you're familiar with, the Portuguese guy? He's managing over in China at the moment.
Generally, from what I've gauged, he's managed clubs that are challenging for the league. So in Turkey, Fenerbahce a few years ago, there was Porto, because he would have followed on Andre Villas-Boas, and they would have been going well at the time. Everton are in a very, very different predicament. It's why you might look at, say, someone like David Moyes, who did the same at West Ham, who previously had a job at Sunderland, who were always struggling towards the bottom. And then also his time at Everton, this was a club that was struggling, and he managed to stabilise them, obviously in a very, very different era, and then turned them into a club that's kind of sixth or seventh in the league.
OK, two predictions each. How does this go on Saturday? And also, who gets the Everton job?
Do you want to go first, or will I? Actually, Chelsea win.
Chelsea win. That's straightforward.
Yes, and then to get the Everton job short term, it seems like if David Boyes is not in a job, and you would think in that situation they would have appointed him straight away, I'm going to go for Vitor Pereira, because he seems to be the name that's being put out there, and who knows how he'll do. I would have my doubts of how he'll do, but he seems to be the person in line at the moment.
What about you, Enda?
I'm going to go for a Chelsea win as well, just because...
Narrow, easy.
It'll be 2-1, because Everton did show signs of improvement in the last two games. I know they got thrashed against Liverpool, but they actually did fight back well enough in that game. I know Liverpool had a weak enough side out, but... I would say with Tammy Abraham back fit for Chelsea, he seems to be a vital player for them this year, so I can see them winning that one. The manager is a little bit more complicated, because it seems to be there's a lot of power struggle in the background of Everton at the minute between Farhad Moshiri and Bill Kenwright. So Bill Kenwright wants David Moyes. He's kind of the old institutional manager. Bill Kenwright fancies a more traditional manager who's going to stabilise the club, whereas Farhad Moshiri, he's the one who brought in Ronald Koeman, he's the one who brought in Marco Silva, he fancied Marco Silva a lot as well, so he wants to bring in another manager of that ilk that's going to come in and try to revolutionise the club, bring in new managers. So Vitor Pereira is the left field option, which I would say Farhad Moshiri fancies him. Also being linked with is the River Plate manager, Guerreiro, so he's River Plate's most successful manager in their history, so he's also
that's real
possibility. Who knows who's going to get the job? I would say no manager in their right mind should take this job before they're finished this run of fixtures. They have Chelsea, Leicester, Arsenal and United still to come.
Mission for Big Sam.
Don't take the job until after Christmas. Let Duncan Ferguson take all the fire on that.
A couple of the last clubs you mentioned there, United and Arsenal, are not as daunting as what appears on the picture.
Yeah, so let's move on to the Manchester Derby then. Gets underway at 5:30. Both obviously arriving here in the back of wins. And City, long odds on, kind of as you would expect. But you know, United are pretty poor away from home in the Premier League. But in the last few years in this match, they actually have a pretty decent record.
They do. And again, it's the cliche, and I know people are saying it ahead of the Merseyside Derby, that it can be an outlier in terms of, you know, form goes out the window. Obviously, Everton were going that badly, it didn't matter. As you said, Manchester United's away form is poor, but they're not exactly travelling far. They're travelling across the city.
This is
so
true.
That also helps.
A bit of a trek across the city of Manchester now.
I mean, the trams and that depends on when you get.
The bus links out to that stadium, they're not great.
You'd think they would have sorted that.
All those unexpected issues might actually play a part. But it is an outlier. But again, maybe it suits Manchester United in a way. Not against, you know, smaller clubs that they travel against away from home, but they are built to be on the counter, especially, you know, Pogba leading the team, especially if he doesn't make it back in the next wee while. But, you know, the pace of Rashford, he seems to have rediscovered his form. Martial appears to be back for this game as well. And if they sit back, as they did, say, against Liverpool, they actually performed reasonably well in that game before Lallana caught them out towards the end. They have a chance. I would still fancy Manchester City, but I think they're not out of it.
Yeah, what do you make of this game, Andrew?
It just depends how United set up and how the attitude of the players matches the way that the team is set up as well. Because during the week, we saw a high intensity press. They were getting the ball out of their feet early, up to the wingers who can do damage. And it was obviously a game plan to get the ball out to the legs of Daniel James and Rashford out the wings to go at the fullbacks. And if they can get that done again this week, then Daniel James can do some damage down that right side where City are vulnerable at the left back. But too often this year, we've seen Manchester United be sluggish, be slow on the ball, taking too many touches. And that's where That's where United turn into a mid-table side, is when they start slowing down the play, because they don't have the players to play those passes. The likes of Fred, the likes of Pereira and McTominay. McTominay's a good player, but he's not a playmaking midfielder, so he's not going to do damage to you. So if United are sluggish in the ball, Man City are going to eat that up and they're going to break them on the counter. And again, the right-hand side is where Man City can do damage as well. Yeah. With, I would say, Ashley Young's probably going to start there. So Bernardo Silva against Ashley Young.
Who wins? Between Bernardo and Ashley Young. Yeah, I think we'd be on that. I mean, there's a touch of where does City kind of go from here as well. They just need to go on a really hot streak at the moment, don't they? Do they have any sort of chance of frightening Liverpool?
100%. But again, I have a bit of a feeling, and it's, you know, John Giles was making the point actually that the gap, it's probably too big at this point. Now, again, it's 11 points, and we've seen gaps like that fall apart. Like, obviously, there's the example in Newcastle many moons ago where I think there were 12 points clear, United closed them in.
I thought you were going to do the impression there for a sec. Go on.
I cannot. Okay. But, you know, I think Liverpool are made of sterner stuff than that Kevin Keegan team, and this, you know, the thing that Man City really want to win is the Champions League. I just wonder, will their focus switch at some point once the last 16 ties begin, and that becomes the thing they really focus on, because that is what the owners want. It's to become a European super club. They've achieved everything.
Global conglomerate. That's why they're getting these 500 million quid in, these, you know, buildings in New York and the like. That's
even for Pep Guardiola, like, it's a long time since he did well in the Champions League. So there's that extra motivation. Whereas in the Premier League, they have done everything. And given the gap that's there, of course, look, they're professionals. They're going to keep going for it, but
and they like beating United.
And they like beating United, but I think at some point their focus is going to switch.
But they'll win this?
Yes, they're going to win this.
I think it'll be a draw. United have performed quite well against the bigger sides, and they're kind of set up to do that as well.
There's a suggestion that that's the kind of manager that Ole Gunnar Solskjaer is. Like, he just likes to have a solid team and then attempt to hit.
It's been a bit of a roundabout for United. They've gone from being flat trap bullies to being a team that's perfectly set up to frustrate the bigger side, so it's hard to know. I would go a draw on this one.
Yeah, all right, let's move on to, well, the league leaders, Liverpool. They're off to Bournemouth. Look, bottom... this is a pretty straightforward win, isn't it? And the thing about Liverpool, and they talked so much about the, you know, December they have and these potentially 12 games or whatever, it's actually pretty straightforward for them. Fixtures-wise, until after Christmas, though, isn't it?
Yeah, and their momentum has been brilliant thus far, so I wouldn't worry about them. And also, I think the point has been made midweek as well. There were changes made. Shaqiri started, Origi, and they both, okay, they're going to be inconsistent if you play them over a 10-game stretch, but if they're able to come in and contribute, as Origi did in the Champions League run last season, they're well able in terms of, again, with a fairly small squad to rotate every now and again. There's a couple of positions like left back, which where Andy Robertson doesn't seem to have an obvious deputy, but they're able to mix and match a little bit. And if Shaqiri and Origi are able to fill in when particularly Salah and Firmino need to be given a rest, because I think Mane seems indispensable at this point.
I suppose that's one of the things about Liverpool this year. It's like, it's not Salah that's indispensable, it's Mane, isn't it?
Yeah, and I think if I were Jurgen Klopp, firstly, I wouldn't be sitting here talking about the game.
If I was Jurgen Klopp.
If I were Jurgen Klopp, I would be resting Salah for the rest of the December and make sure that his ankle gets back to full strength, because that seems to be the issue with his form this year, is that he got that ankle injury and hasn't fully recovered from it, so they don't really need Salah to get points on the board, because
Origi
is playing
quite
well.
Is this not the kind of game where you'd actually just give him a run, because Bournemouth are terrible? Like,
yeah, there's an argument to be made for that.
There's
also an argument that you could play the same side that played against Everton during the week and still get.
Yeah, if they got five against Everton, so what are they going to get? Yeah,
exactly. I think it's fairly straightforward for Liverpool. Bournemouth have been pretty good against the bigger sides this year. They beat United this year. They're quite good against Tottenham as well. So,
but they're on a really poor run.
They're just really inconsistent this year, and they have been inconsistent under Eddie Howe, and that's probably why his reputation has kind of dropped a little bit from where it was a few years ago.
I suppose that's one of the reasons he's probably not been mentioned for some of the jobs that are kind of out there at the moment as well.
Yeah, he probably would have been favoured for this job if it was this time last year for the Everton job.
Or even coming into conversation with the Arsenal job.
Yeah,
you know.
But I mean, I think the one job he left Bournemouth for a brief sojour was Burnley, and never really worked out. He was there for a while and then went back to Bournemouth, and that seems to be his natural home.
He's just happy there.
He's very happy there.
He has a house there. He's happy. It's about the
what more do you need?
Yeah, exactly. Anyway, just straightforward win for Liverpool.
Yeah, 100%.
Yeah. I'll go over 2-1.
Okay, Jose Mourinho is looking to get back two winning ways. Look, up against Burnley, obviously at home, should be straightforward, but what went wrong during the week against United?
Well, I didn't really see the full game.
He suggested it was a slow start.
Yeah, a slow start, and I heard Dele Alli saying something about arrogance as well, which I thought was an interesting point.
Dele Alli said that arrogance may have come into it, or overconfidence, let's say, and it probably is. Like, if you win two on the bounce and you're going to a team that you feel like you should beat, then you probably are a little bit arrogant going into it. It was a slow start. United did catch them on the bounce at the start of the first half and the start of the second half. So that's where the two goals came. If Tottenham had played from the start like they did from the 10th or 12th minute onwards, they probably would have won the game. But yeah, they just weren't as good as we've seen of them in the first two games under Mourinho.
And their defence has been leaky when you look at the results since Mourinho came in,
I mean,
which is a
surprising
thing.
The first three games, 10-6.
Yeah.
That's just not the Mourinho effect.
That's an issue that they have to look at. Obviously, Dele Alli, Harry Kane, and the other forwards they have that Mourinho has used have obviously bailed them out most of the time, apart from the midweek game. But Burnley probably won't cause them as much issues away from home. If it was the reverse fixture in Turf Moor, I'd be worried. But
Burnley have lost a couple on the bounce as well.
Yeah, and they're on a poor run as well.
Yeah,
the style of play they play, it suits Tottenham down to the ground because they're not trying to get people in behind the defence.
Yeah.
The Tottenham defence don't have much pace about them, but they're very good in the air. And that's where Burnley look to do the damage. So I would say Tottenham should be safe enough here.
Yeah, lost four of the last six, Burnley. Right, a quick one on Watford and Palace then. I actually thought Palace looked a bit of a bet in this, to be perfectly honest, around about 2-1. But anything you like in this?
Yeah, Palace. Palace in general this year.
Yeah, they're just so likable, aren't they?
They've been very, very good.
Especially under the radar as well, I think, compared to other clubs.
Under the radar. They've been pulling off a few results, and Zaha's starting to get a few goals on his score sheet now, so he's starting to come into a bit of form as well. So I think I fancy Palace in this. Again, Watford are managerless. Again.
How many jobs are on the go at the moment?
I can see this being a Palace result. They have been good away from home, funny enough, this year, and the last couple of years they have been better away from Selhurst Park, so it's a slightly strange one, but they're quite good.
Yeah, Palace as well. Also look out for Jeffrey Schlupp, who's scored a couple of good goals over the last couple of weeks as well. Just seems to be in good form. And obviously, as you said, Zaha seems to have, after all the summer travails of not getting the move to Arsenal, he seems to have finally found his feet again.
Just put his head down, work for the team, you know.
And realised Arsenal's not the place to be right
now. Yeah, well, if anything, he's dodged a bullet, really.
Yeah, 100%.
Let's move on to Sunday. Three games at 2:00. We'll focus on Aston Villa and Leicester first. Leicester obviously into second place. What a story under under Brendan Rodgers. I mean, it looks like he's negotiating himself a new deal as well to fend off interest for Arsenal. But he'd be mad to leave, wouldn't he?
100. Yeah, like the way it's going, it's almost reminiscent of the year they won the league in terms of the momentum they've been able to generate. I think they're on something like 7 wins in a row now, and you know they fell behind at Everton. I was watching that game on Sunday, and it's a test of a club that's on that kind of run to see how they respond, and they did, and they're going really well. I think Rodgers would be mad to think about moving now. You know, maybe the next summer at the earliest, but he has some great players there. Obviously, everyone knows Vardy, and you know, Ndidi's been impressive in midfield, and Soyuncu as well at centre back has been really, really impressive. There's a good spine of players there, and I couldn't really look past them for this game.
Yeah, 14 goals for Vardy so far in the Premier League. He looks like one to help himself again against Villa, doesn't he?
Yeah, it's his scoring record is incredible, that he has gone through the league systems, and to maintain this consistency over this period of time in the Premier League is just remarkable. And even to keep the pace that he's kept, like at his age, that's unheard of.
Do you know what I love about him? He just loves scoring goals. I know it sounds like a ludicrous thing to say for a striker, but even when they were winning like 9 or 10-0 or whatever, he's still like, I want 4, I want 5.
He has got a little bit lucky with a few penalty decisions, with encroachment and VAR calling him back. I think it's 3 this year. It's definitely 2 at least that he's missed the penalty, but it's been called back for encroachment from VAR. So he has 2 goals that arguably wouldn't have been goals without VAR, but he's brilliant, and he kind of epitomises where this Leicester team are at the minute. Absolutely ruthless. And Leicester this year, the thing I've been most impressed with them is not the defensive solidity, it's not the nice passing or intricate passing that we're seeing, it's the fact that when they go 2 goals up, they just keep going.
They just keep going for
more goals, and the Newcastle game especially, when they just absolutely just hounded them and didn't give up and just
kept
going.
It seems like Vardy leads that mentality a little bit as well.
Yeah, they just want to keep scoring. And I've seen a few people brush them off as potential as the team that are going to be closest to Liverpool this year. But I think out of all those squads, they've got the strongest squad between Chelsea, Arsenal, maybe not, they don't have, probably don't have a better squad than Tottenham, but just on the run of form that Tottenham are at, and United. Leicester have the strongest squad out of those four teams. So
yeah, but this is a, this is probably a stronger squad than the one that won the league.
It probably was.
The only bad thing is they're chasing Liverpool, not Tottenham.
Yeah, the only thing, yeah, exactly. They won the league with 74 points. Liverpool are probably going to win it with
99. Liverpool have that point.
So. Yeah, like say the stronger squad point is great as well, because Iheanacho, who hasn't really featured as much, he came in as a late substitute.
Yeah, he's really good,
and he changed the game.
Yeah.
So it just shows where they're at. It's just unfortunate for them that they're coming up against or they're in the same, I suppose, season as a Liverpool team that appear to be just running away with it.
Yeah, let's move on to the other two o'clock games quickly. Newcastle and Southampton.
Southampton are a good run of form. There was a worry that they might get cut adrift. Newcastle, of course, won midweek as well. I am going to go for a draw.
I think Newcastle will win this.
Yeah.
They've been very impressive the last couple of weeks. They seem to have their game plan down now. And with Saint-Maximin on the break, I think they can do damage to the Southampton defence.
Yeah, I mean, Newcastle, so many people tipped them to go down when Bruce got the job. Now look how solid they are. Sheffield United, they'll be looking to bounce back against Norwich at 2 o'clock as well, can they?
Yeah, and I think they will. They lost to Newcastle last night, but their general run of form and the way they've approached the season has been brilliant. Tactically, they're probably the most interesting club to watch as well, with their overlapping full backs, and obviously quite biased as well because we've a lot of Irish lads there at the moment. So, and Norwich at the same time, I watched them, they were impressive against Arsenal, but that is against Arsenal as well.
That's against Arsenal, though.
It's against Arsenal with
count.
Four of the worst defenders in the league as well, which made up one of the worst individual back fours I've ever seen. But I think it'll be Sheffield United, because Norwich's form otherwise has been kind of a bit up and down.
Good stuff. A quick word from Enda, our official Celtic correspondent, because Rangers and Celtic face up in the Scottish League Cup final. Do you have a prediction for us in that, Enda?
It's going to be a tough one. It's not going to be as straightforward as they have been in the past for Celtic, because Rangers are in a good run of form this year. Morelos is absolutely banging in the goals for Rangers.
They can name
this year.
The prize for him at some stage in the next few months.
Interestingly enough, there's been a lot of talk about Neil Lennon coming in. Will he do the job that Brendan Rodgers did? And Neil Lennon's built a squad that's much better than the one under Brendan Rodgers. They brought in Elly Unesi from Southampton on loan. And if Southampton are looking at his form now, they'll be wondering what kind of player he was for them, because he's been phenomenal at the left wing for Celtic. James Forrest has been the player of the season so far in the Scottish League. And Scott Brown as well has been excellent in the midfield. He just keeps going. So it's going to be tight, but I can see Celtic probably snatching this one as well. They're going to want to keep this run of trophies going and probably win a quadruple treble.
Can you even
now this season?
Look, if it's quadruple treble, I don't think it even counts for any of that. When you get the quadruple trebles.
But it'll be quadruple treble and 10 in a row.
Okay.
So.
Absolutely.
That's a holy grail.
Listen, I remember the one in a row t-shirt, so you know, it just goes to show how things have changed.
Neither club have done it. Rangers went 9 in a row and they were stopped.
Yeah, I think that was when the Celtic got their one in a row t-shirt.
At the end of the 90s, so. Yeah, this is Celtic's time to show if they can do it.
Okay. 4:30 on Sunday, Brighton take on Wolves. You can catch commentary live on Off the Ball. Nathan Murphy and Gary Breen will be on commentary for us there. Wolves, do you think they can do this?
Yeah, Wolves have been very, very solid throughout the season. They started a little bit slowly, but even, you know, you worried about them a bit when they were still involved in the Europa League and the group stages, because we saw Burnley struggle with that previously when they were in it. It's hard to manage, especially when you have a very small squad. But yeah, Wolves, I would fancy Wolves. They seem to be going well, and obviously there's some great players at the club as well.
Yeah, absolutely. Brighton and Wolves?
It probably could be the game of the weekend. Apart from the Manchester derby, just because of the way Brighton set up and the way Wolves set up, they're two teams that are probably going to go at each other.
Yeah, exciting teams.
And Brighton have been quite good at home. I don't have the results at hand, but I'm pretty sure they've only lost once or twice so far under Graham Potter at home. So they are they were very good during the week, and Aaron Connolly especially was a standout player. Again, it was against Arsenal. So you just don't know how to look into Arsenal.
It doesn't count.
It's like Alex Ferguson when he used to talk about Spurs apparently in the dressing room. I think it was in Roy Keane's book. It's Tottenham.
It's
Tottenham lads.
When you have a team like Brighton who are going to attack you, and you have that defence, you're always susceptible to a loss. And if you look at the first goal for Brighton, the defending was absolutely atrocious. So you don't know how far you would look into that win, but I think there's going to be a good game. I would go a draw, though.
Yeah, Parton don't have that. Yeah, looking for a draw on that. Let's move on to Monday then. The team we've kind of been mocking for the last half an hour. Arsenal head to West Ham. And West Ham, like, are they not a bit of a price at bigger than 2-1? Arsenal are even money here. I mean, they are almost the definition of disarray again.
Yeah, it's been terrible. And you kind of thought, look, there'd be a new manager bounce. And we saw a draw in which they were lucky to draw at Norwich and continued their poor away form. And then midweek, you think, OK, back at the Emirates, the safety of a ground that they generally do well at, and, you know, Brighton do them. And Brighton have been a bit up and down as well during the season. Again, depends what back four he names. And everything just seems muddled at the moment. There doesn't seem to be any leadership from the kind of directorial level. We don't have any ideas. There's a new manager coming in, that permanent full-time manager. And yeah, West Ham have been going poorly, but then they did win at Chelsea very recently as well. So it's
it's four losses and but a win over Chelsea. But then again, West Ham hate Chelsea. So, but I don't know. For me, at Arsenal last night, Aubameyang going off and taking a toilet break, I was like, that's almost, it's like he went off for like 2.5 minutes or something, and it just came back on.
I wasn't sure about Ljungberg. We spoke about him last week on the show and what he was going to bring to the Arsenal camp. And I didn't really know because we're all going off reports of what he was like with the underage teams. Yeah. And then I saw his first press conference. This man is not going to inspire anybody He seems like one of those managers that's just too serious, can't connect with the players. That could be completely untrue. But judging on the performances, doesn't look like this Arsenal team are any different than they were under Emery.
But he's been part of it. It was like, it looks like he's the rat. Doesn't it? Like the whole coaching team are gone, except for you. You can stay, Freddie. Good lad.
But I think that was the case, was always going to be the case, given who he is. He's part of the Invincibles. And obviously, I think he had been highly rated as a coach, but coach and manager are very, very...
I think it was Jonathan Liu, I think, was in The Guardian, who was like, oh, part of the Arsenal DNA, which is now a terrible affliction as opposed to ones. But, I mean, what happens here? What happens here on Monday night?
It depends who West Ham go with.
There's a chance that both teams could lose.
Honestly, it will come down to who West Ham play in Nets. If they go with Roberto again and trust him, then Arsenal will knock in goals against them because he is terrible.
Would you say he's the worst in the Premier League?
He'd definitely do a good job at being the worst. I'd say he's definitely up there because the further down the table you go, the better the goalkeepers tend to be, which is
because
you actually have to be a shot stopper. So he's dreadful. So they went with their reserve keeper, 34-year-old debutant, David Martin.
Yeah.
And he was quite good. He was really emotional after last week.
Yeah, so he's a son of a
West Ham legend, and he did quite well. So I would say they'll probably go with him. And if Arsenal are leaky at the back like they were during the week, the West Ham forward line will do some damage as well.
You think West Ham can do them?
They can do them. Whether they will, I think it'll be a draw, actually.
Okay.
Yeah.
Right. Well, let's get going. We'll get some best bets then for the weekend. We're going to have our selections from Paddy Power. We'll start with you, Ender. Go on. Ender's call.
My call this week. I'm going to go with Crystal Palace to win 2-0. Not 2-0, but Crystal Palace to win and Watford not to score.
Crystal Palace to win 1-0, but with Jeffrey Schlupp to score.
All right, okay. My best bet of the week was going to be Palace as well. I just kind of can't believe the price about them. So, wisdom of crowds.
Yeah.
Or fools seldom differ. Whatever way you want to go. Thanks for tuning in. And a reminder again, of course, our football coverage is brought to you with thanks to Paddy Power for information on responsible gambling. And make sure you visit dunlewy.net. Thanks for tuning in, and we'll be back again soon.
The Paddy Power Half Hour on Off the Ball
with Paddy Power, the greatest football partnership since Jeff and Heskey.